Okay, shall we open up the Bible and have a look at some scriptures? Just a short talk and I'll hand over to another brother. So we'll turn to begin with our theme scripture, which is Romans 15, 19. Romans 15 and verse 19. So you've probably heard this a few times so far at camp, but it does never get boring because miracles and the mighty works of God are just great. Verse 19, through mighty signs, says Paul the Apostle, of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yes, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Now, look, I'm really interested in how Paul the Apostle, he's talking how he's fully preached, been able to preach the gospel of Christ from Jerusalem and this place, Illyricum. And which I just did a bit of research. That's kind of like the Balkan region of Southeast Europe. Is that right? Sort of. Illyricum. So maybe like Croatia, Macedonia, that sort of thing. Okay. So that's a long stretch of land, I suppose, especially in those days. I don't know if they had horses or carts or Lamborghinis. But yeah, he went out and he preached the gospel. And, you know, it says there in 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit. And we are filled with that Holy Spirit. That means that when we go out and preach the gospel, we have the ability to perform the same signs and mighty signs and wonders. Now, just to cover some ground, I just want to turn to Mark 16, a very popular scripture, of course. Mark 16, if you would. Mark 16, verse 15. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just like what Paul did, isn't it? From Jerusalem all the way up to Illyricum. Just jump down to verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Thou shalt speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents and drink anything deadly. It will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So these are just some of the signs and wonders that we're talking about here. So when Paul went out and he preached the gospel, some people perhaps not believed, but they were sick, and he offered to lay hands on them, and they received a mighty miracle. They received a healing, and he offered to pray with them to receive the Holy Spirit after baptism perhaps, and they wonderfully were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had that confirmation of speaking in other tongues. And the people round about would have seen the miracles, they would have seen the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and they would have thought, oh, I'd like that as well. And everywhere Paul went, or even where Jesus went when he was healing people, they all followed on, and it was just a wonderful work, a great and mighty work by the power of God that was done through Jesus and through Paul. And even today, through us and all the people said. Let's just move over to John 14. Now, in this passage, Jesus got a little bit frustrated with Philip. Philip had been walking with Jesus for many years and seen the great mighty works of God. And Philip said to Jesus in verse 8 of John 14, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He said to Jesus, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient for me to believe that you are the Son of God. That's basically what he's saying. Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, oh, you got a bit upset here. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He says here. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, or most assuredly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And what are these greater works that we do? Well, we are showing people the way of salvation. We're showing people how they can get filled with the Holy Spirit. We're showing people how they can have remission of sins and live forever with God. We're showing them we can get people baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a great work to have people living forever in the kingdom of God, isn't it? And as it says there in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And we have that very same power that we can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed. We heard the testimonies just before of people who had their hands laid on them and they were either risen from the dead, no broken bones, slit wrists and other things. Miracles of God. I want to talk about a few miracles that's happened in my family while I'm on the subject. I remember my son Ronan, at the age of 2, he opened a bottle of eucalyptus oil and he drank out of it. Now, I did some research on this eucalyptus oil. It takes less than 5 milligrams to be absolutely poisonous for an adult. And the toxins that it can cause are central nervous system depression. Does anyone know what that is? Basically, it slows down your heart rate right down and it slows down your breathing. Basically, yeah, it's a real depressive event and it can cause you to go into a deep coma. You can become, it can kill you, obviously. But these are the symptoms if an adult were to take this amount accidentally, I hope. But a child drank eucalyptus oil and we prayed for him. I mean, he wasn't showing any signs of any symptoms, but we laid hands on him and the bottle had poison written all over it and he was not harmed in any way. Praise the Lord for that. His breath stank like eucalyptus drops, concentrated. And yeah, he wasn't injured, affected by it. Tani, my wife, she actually had very bad eyesight. She had really thick glasses as a child. And the church prayed for her to have a healing that she could see. And look, she doesn't wear glasses at all now. Some people wear glasses all their life, but Tani was healed. And also my brother-in-law had leukemia. And now one of the things with leukemia is that it makes you very, very fatigued. And he ended up taking on a job as a roof tiler with leukemia. And apparently, I don't know how he got through it, but every lunch break he would just fall asleep. And then when they said, wake up, get back to work, he'd go back to work. But he received a mighty miracle from God for that as well, through prayer. Because we have the Holy Spirit of that Jesus Christ died on the cross to give to us. So in verse 12 here, verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, he that believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Why do we have to do works? That's the question. I mean, there's a lot of Christian, I call them, what did I call them? I had a name for it the other day. I called them, it was just a combination of two words, fake Christians, it doesn't matter. Anyway, these so-called unspirit-filled people are preaching the gospel, but they cannot lay hands on the sick. They cannot pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit because they just don't want to believe that. But we believe in the power of God. There was a scripture somewhere that says that they deny the power thereof. But we do not deny the power, do we? We've seen miracles. Our very first miracle was perhaps someone laid hands on us and we received a healing. And then following that, we decided to follow the Lord and be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. For me, my first miracle was that I spoke in tongues. And I thought it was amazing. I received something supernatural from God, and it was fantastic, and my life changed over and over, as I mentioned in my testimony yesterday. But why should we do works? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, please. Paul traveled from Jerusalem to Illyricum to preach the gospel with mighty signs and wonders. Remember how Jesus said to Philip, believe me for the very work's sakes. I'm sure perhaps there's people here that didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God until someone laid hands on you and you received a healing. And as Jesus said to Philip there, believe me for the very work's sake. Believe that I am the Son of God. Because who can do a miracle that's not the Son of God? Who can make a lame person walk? Who can stretch out someone's withered hand and cause it to be made whole like the other one? Who can cleanse a leper? Who can cast out devils? Who can cause a paralyzed person to walk? None other than Jesus and his Spirit that dwells in us. And all the people said. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 2. And Paul says to the Corinthian church, he's just making an example here about love. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And that's why the scriptures tell us freely we've received, freely give. God, through his great love, sent Jesus to us to show us the way of salvation, to make open the way of salvation. And then Jesus, through his great love, allowed himself to be captured, to be beaten, and to be crucified, which is a horrible death, apparently. I've never experienced it. But he went through so much because he knew the Father's plan. He knew the love of the Father. He himself had the Father's love within himself, and he agreed to go for that. He agreed to go ahead with that great sacrifice and great beating so that we could have such a wonderful new life in Christ. I'll quote a couple of scriptures. John 3:16, a very popular scripture in most Christian circles. How's it go? For the Father so loved the world that whoever believeth on him and obey him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's God's great love that we have such a new life in him. And another quote, 1 John 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has given and bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And now here we are, 2,000 years after the death of Jesus Christ, and people are still being filled with the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus wants to have as many people come into the fold as he possibly can before his return, and he's been holding it off. He hates sin. He can't look at sin, but he's let his salvation plan stretch for so long that so many can possibly be saved, but this world will not last forever. And as it says there in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, Paul says, I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. By the grace of someone showing us the gospel, we now understand the mystery of the gospel. I mean, there's a lot of Christian groups that don't know the mystery. They think that perhaps you just need to be baptized. You just need to believe only and not obey to be saved. But we've uncovered the mystery, praise the Lord, of salvation. And now, as it says there, and all knowledge, and we have the knowledge to show other people how to receive salvation, that we can share the infilling of the Holy Ghost experience with other people. And then it says, and all faith so that I could remove mountains. And if we stir ourselves up in the faith of God, then we can lay hands with no doubt and expect a healing. And that's why the scriptures constantly encourage us to be built up in the Holy Ghost so that with the faith that we have and with no doubt, we can go out. And with the love that we've been given, we can share that love with other people in the world who are lost like we were, and we can show them that God is real. And even if they don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we can say, hey, are you sick? I can pray for you right now and you can have the healing. Then would you believe perhaps? I remember I went to an outreach by the Mandra foreshore there, and it was a really good outreach. I had great conversations with people, and I come across a middle-aged lady who had, I was just walking with her along the foreshore there talking about scriptures, and she was a sort of a believer, and she mentioned to me that she had an injury with her leg for many years, and I just said to her on the spot, I can pray for you right now and you can have the healing. And as she heard that, she said, no, I'm all right, thanks. And I was just like, why not? And then she started to cry. She turned around and started crying and she said, leave me alone. And then I stood still and I let her go. But the thing is, we have to make ourselves available for the people out there. Who knows, maybe one day one of us might revisit her and not even realize it. As the scriptures say, Apollos has watered, such and such has watered, but God gives the increase. She might get saved one day, but we have to make ourselves available out there for the people that God loves, that we love as well as God loves the people out there who are thirsting for righteousness, and all the people said. All right, just one more scripture, 2 Timothy 1, please. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. So this is a letter to Timothy, and Paul says to him, you know, stir up the gift that you've received from God when I've laid my hands on you and you received the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that? Now stir up that gift. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. It's obvious what it says. Also in Jude, you know, Build up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Stir up the gift that is within you. Verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. We ought to not be afraid, as we heard in the talk last night, when we're going out preaching the gospel. But it is of power and of love and a sound mind. We love the people of the world. We want to see them saved. God has given us power and he's given us faith to go out there and to actually offer them a prayer, to lay our hands on them with whatever illness they might have, that they might be healed. And we have a sound mind. We have a sound understanding and knowledge of the scriptures and of salvation, and all the people said.